about it, and we just read it and go on. But now when the psalmist penned this down, this was a big deal, right? God had done something big in his life, and he had took the time aside to sit down and to write down about what God had done. And so I want to go real slow, and I just want to take my time, just look at a couple of verses right here, and boy, just try to give you what the Lord has given me. I tell the Lord all the time, I hope he helps me to get it across in the way that he puts it in. Because when he puts it in, it's real good, Brother Darrell. And I struggle sometimes to get it across that way. But the Lord knows that is my heart's desire. I wish everybody sometimes could just be sitting in my study with me when the Lord starts to say this stuff. And boy, if I could just take that and pour it out, boy, it'd sure be a help to you. And I'm hoping that's what the Lord does tonight. But in verse number one, it starts off, it's one word, it's real simple in our minds and how we use it. But boy, the magnitude of what that word is, he starts this thing off and he just says God. And boy, Brother Josh, I thought about what a word that is. Boy, just to say the word God. You know, they say that those old, the fellas that would, the scribes, they would write this down. When they would write the word God, they were very particular. They couldn't stop once they started it. They had to get a new pen. I've heard all sorts of stuff about what they done. But the deal is with that, Brother Creston, is they were very reverent when they wrote that word. When they were speaking about the Almighty Creator, boy, they was reverent about Him. And I just got to thinking about that, and I thought, man alive, what a blessing it is just to sit down and read this book. And boy, this fella, he's talking about God. He says, God. Not little g God, not some God that somebody, but I'm talking about the Creator of the universe, God. And boy, that we get to be here tonight, and that Brother Ty, we're doing this. We're not up here. We didn't come in just to come. This ain't a social gathering, but we come for a reason, and we come in somebody's name. And it's God. Boy, what a thought that is. God. God. I mean, God. He said, God. And then he says this. He said, God is. Oh, my. What a thought, friend. Not that God was, Brother Joe. Not that God will be. He made a timeless statement when he wrote this verse. He said, God is. Right now, God is. 10,000 years from now, you know what I'll be able to say? I'll be able to say God is. And 10,000 years ago, if there was anybody around, you know what they could say? They could say God is. And a million years ago, you know what God could have said? He could have said, God is. And a bazillion years from now, you know what we'll be able to say? God is. Oh, yeah. He is. He always was, and he always will be. Amen. But friend, tonight, as we sit here together, I just want to remind you that God, he is. And I really like, now listen, I like it. He said, God, I like that. He said, God is. Boy, I really like that. But you want to talk about it getting special? You throw that next word in there. He didn't just say God, didn't just say God is. But he said, God is our. Our. Now how could little old me have any claim to that? How could I look to an almighty God who wretched down in the dirt and formed man and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life and all that he's done and all that I, how could I ever look at God and say God is our? Brother Creston and I can. I tell you what I thought. Me and Brother Kevin went Friday night and we seen Miss Golden, and boy, she was a hurting and she was calling out to the Lord. She was saying, God help me. Lord help me. You know what happened, Brother Ty? We got down and we prayed with her. And when we got up, you know what she started saying? I mean, she started saying, Lord, thank you for touching me. I mean, right away. Said, Lord, thank you for touching me. And then she went off on a big fit. That's what started this whole thought. She started saying, Lord, you're my Savior. Lord, you're my Master. Lord, you're my King. And boys, I got to thinking about this verse and this psalm and what he wrote here. He said, God is our. And you could fill that out with a million different things. I could say that he's my Savior. I could say that he is my master. I could say that he is a million, my provider. He is so many different things. But I do like what he said. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Ain't that something? So not just God, not just God is, and not just God is our, but he begins to tell us about what God is to us. And so he says this. He says that God is our refuge. Boy, what a blessing that is. You know, a refuge is a place of protection and a place of safety, a place that you can run to when you need help. And this psalmist says, hey, there was a time when I needed help, and I've learned something, that God isn't just somebody else's refuge, but he claims him for his own. And he says, God is our refuge. God is our strength. When I didn't have the strength that I needed, God provided it. God gave what was needed, friend. He says, God is our refuge and our strength. You know that all other refuges, Brother Creston, they're really just refuges of lies. It's a temporary refuge. It's a place where you may feel safe for a while, but then everything falls apart. You may run to money, and you may run to status, and you may run to spouses. You may run to all sorts of things as a refuge of protection, but one day that thing will give way. But now God will never do that, because God is. He is our refuge. He said it then, but it's still true right now. He is still our refuge, and he is still our strength. You want strength? You know where you get it from? You get it from the Lord. This ain't about being disciplined. This ain't about making something of yourself. No, friend, this is about the Lord, and that he is our refuge, and he is our strength. Now, what we know about this psalm is this. The Bible does not say this. Most scholars say that they believe, due to several things, the time of the writing, the speaking in which, the way in which he spoke it, this is accredited to Hezekiah. Now, they don't know if Hezekiah wrote it or if he had it wrote and had the sons of Korah sing it. However that transpired, we do not know. And I don't know 1,000% that King Hezekiah wrote this, but even if he didn't, it applied to his situation. And if you remember over in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 18, chapter number 19, Hezekiah was in a real bad spot. He was in Jerusalem. The king of Assyria had come up against him. They had surrounded the city. They had more troops. They had more strength. There was really no hope. They were blockaded. They were going to be starving to death. They had conquered all these other kingdoms. And these servants of the king had come up against the gates. And they were talking a lot of smack, as we would say. And they were saying, oh, we're going to take you down, and you think that God's going to help you. Well, that's what this bunch thought. They thought that God was going to help them, and he didn't help them. And they told the people, they said, don't let King Hezekiah lie to you. Don't you let him tell you that God's going to help you. You might think he's going to, but he's not. He's not going to help you. All these other gods, they trusted in them, and they failed, and your God ain't going to be no different. But boy, I love what King Hezekiah done. They sent him that letter. You know what he done? He took that thing and he just went to the altar and he just laid it out before the Lord. And he said, listen, I'm not my own refuge. He said, I'm trapped. He said, I'm not my own strength. I don't have the ability. I do not have the means to win this battle. And he said, Lord, this ain't my problem. They're not talking about me. They're talking about you. They said, you're not going to help us. They said, we don't need to trust in you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this thing and I'm just going to lay it out before the Lord. And Lord, I'm going to let you solve that problem. Well, anybody that, even if you didn't know the Bible, I'm going to give you one guess at how that thing turned out. It turned out good for King Hezekiah. They didn't have to lift a finger. I mean, they didn't have to do nothing. There's an angel come, killed 185,000 of them. They went off and, you know, never bothered them at all after that. Boy, I'm telling you, just God done a mighty work in that day. And that's why that they believe that this scripture, this psalm, as he sat down and wrote this, friend, he was talking from experience. This wasn't just something for somebody else. It wasn't a story that they heard somebody else say. No, friend, he said, listen, I was against the wall, my back. I was back down. I had no strength. I had no refuge. I had no help outside of the Lord. but I took it to the Lord. And he said, I have learned something. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Well, ain't that a blessing? I don't know about you tonight, friend, but I'll tell you what that does. That stirs something up in my heart. Now, I want you to notice what he goes on to say. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Boy, I don't like being in trouble, do you? I've never much enjoyed that. I hate it when I get in a spot and I think, oh, Lord, I'm in trouble now. It's just a bad feeling, ain't it? Maybe you done something, maybe you didn't, maybe you just ended up wherever you was at, but there you are, and you're in trouble. And you look around, and you say, man, I'm in a pickle and I'm in a mess. I tell you what, Brother Jesse, I remember one time, I remember the first time that I really realized that I was in real trouble. I was sitting in a church service over at Crossroads Free Will Baptist Church, and the Holy Ghost of God, he come by my way. And now, Ty, he loved me, and that's why he done what he done. But he convicted me and showed me I was lost, showed me that I was heading towards hell. You know what I done? I looked around. I said, oh, no, I'm in trouble now. There wasn't no more running from it. There wasn't no more saying, well, I'm a good little church kid, and I've got good parents, and I went to a good church. I couldn't do that no more. God, Brother Creston, he had done put his finger on it. He had done showed me what I really was. And boy, I looked around. I thought, man, I'm in trouble now. There ain't no more. I can't go home tonight and act as if I'm just ignorant to the fact that I'm lost. Well, I know the Lord spoke to me. I know that it's you, God. I know, and I realize that what you're saying, it's right. I really am lost, and I really am headed to hell. And if I don't get saved, I'm in trouble. I realized I was in trouble. But you know what else I realized? There's a place of refuge. Boy, it wasn't far away, and it wasn't hard to get to. It's like those cities of refuge. He put one just right within location, right within reaching distance, if you will. Or I could just in a short trip get there, just took a little walk up the aisle. And you know what I found? He was a very present help in trouble. Now listen, if you're sitting before me tonight and you've never been saved, God showed you that you're lost, showed you that you're on your way to hell, listen to me. You are in trouble. Once God shows you what you really are, you are accountable. I don't care if you're 6-year-old or if you're 90-year-old. It does not matter. Once God puts his finger on that, friend, you are in trouble. You better recognize and be aware of the fact that you are in a bad, bad spot. You have now become accountable to a thrice holy God. And it's not as if he's not fair. It's not as if he didn't make a way. I mean, Brother Joey, he sent his son to die on the cross so that you could be saved. That's what I love about the Lord is he never stops by. He never convicts somebody and shows them that they're a sinner without pointing them towards the cross. He never shows them that they're lost without showing them a way out. And so from that moment forward, you make a decision right then and there if you're going to either move toward God and accept what he's saying and go to the refuge and to the strength that's been made available to you, or you're going to reject him. He said, well, preacher, I just think I'll not do nothing. No, 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 friend. See, that counts. But Creston, if you don't do nothing, then that's rejecting it. That's being illuminated. You say, well, I don't like that. I wish I wasn't illuminated. Well, it's too late now. Friend, you've already been made aware. God has already put his finger on it. See, now you're in trouble. Now the buck goes to you. The ball's in your court, if you will. It's your decision to make. And you can sit there and say, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to do nothing. And listen, you can do that. But you can also wind up in hell. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. If God has illuminated your conscience, you are in trouble. But I'm glad that when we get in trouble, that he don't leave us. Ain't that good? That ain't what whoever wrote this, Hezekiah or whoever said it. He didn't say God is our refuge and our strength at certain times. He didn't say he was that way except when we're really in trouble. That's not what he said, is it? He said that he is a very present help in a time of trouble. So I'm glad that when I got in trouble and I realized I was in trouble, that I knew I had somewhere to go and somewhere someone to help me, right? Now, the fact of the matter is, Brother Ty, that was not the last time I was in trouble. There's been times since I got saved that I've been in trouble. I've gotten spots. I've got in situations. Sometimes I done it and sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I just ended up in a situation, ended up in a trial, ended up with sickness, ended up with a burden, ended up with more than what I could bear, more than I was able to stick my shoulders under and bear it all by myself. I was in trouble. It was a trial. It was a weight. It was a something that was bringing me down. But I'm glad that regardless, friend, of what it was and what the need was, that God is a very present God. God was, not God will be someday. Not once you get so spiritual and you get everything else in your life right, then God will help you. That's not what it says. It said God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Right now, it's available. If you're in trouble, there is help. He will help you. You don't have to fix it by yourself. You don't have to get everything else in your life lined up. And then once you do that and you get all that right, then God will be willing to help you. That is not how that works. And I'll tell you, I know this from experience. You'll probably not get very far with God thinking that way. You try to fix everything yourself, and yeah, Lord, we'll take care of that one of these days. But right now, I really need to tend to this. But Jesse, I ain't never got nowhere much like that. But boy, when I just threw my hands up and said, God, you know what? You're right. I'm in trouble. I'm in need. I need somebody. I need some help. I need a refuge. I need strength. Boy, he's always been right there. Anytime I've ever come to him, I've never come and him said, son, listen, I love you and I really want to help you, but I'm sorry. That's just a little too big for me. That ain't never happened. I ain't never come to the Lord, Brother Gavin, and the Lord turned me away and say, oh, sorry. It's just what you need is too great. That word help, I got to reading about that. By definition, says it's to lend strength, relief, or to cure. So he don't just help in the problem. A lot of times, but he fixes the problem. You go back to the root of that word. I'm no Greek scholar, nothing like that. You get studying on some of that. The root of that word, it means to protect. It is to surround. You are when the Lord comes to your aid, but Joel, you're surrounded by his help. He's a very present help. He will protect you. He will strengthen you. But you have to run to him. See, if Hezekiah would have tried to fight that fight on his own, well, it wouldn't have worked out real good. The army was too big. He'd have never made it. But he said, Lord, this ain't my problem. I ain't got the strength. I ain't got the ability. So what I'm going to do is just take this issue and I'm going to lay it out before the Lord and I'm going to let him do it. And the Lord done just exactly what he said he'd do. He said, you know what? As a matter of fact, they are tearing down my name. They are blaspheming me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to send an angel. He's going to destroy the enemy, and you'll not have to lift one finger. Ain't that a blessing? The Lord ever pulled you out of a situation you didn't even have to lift a finger? I've been there. There wasn't even nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew I was in trouble but me. Brought it to the Lord, and the Lord said, I'll take care of it. Ain't that something? Boy, I love the Lord, don't you? I appreciate him. I appreciate him for being this way. I'm glad it don't hinge on us. I'm glad that it ain't about how good we can be. But it's about him. God is. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. That second verse says this, and I'll be done. It said, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now hang on just a second. Give that some thought for just a minute. What is he saying? But Donna, he is so confident at this point. I mean, he's seen the Lord do something. He said, I don't know, Brother Creston. God can do it. Yeah. He can do what he said. He is going to take care of me. He really is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. He really is a refuge and a strength in time of trouble. So he said, regardless of how bad it gets, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. All right, Brother Rick, now this is getting pretty big. I mean, sometimes we think we got problems. I've never seen this. I've never seen how the earth be removed and the mountains falling off into the midst of the sea. I ain't never seen that. Now, boy, that'd be something. Brother Arnie called me this week or sent me a message yesterday. Said they had a 7.8 magnitude earthquake over in the Philippines. Tore a bunch of buildings up and all that stuff. Look here, if we'd have been there, Brother Wayne, safe to say, we'd have probably been a little scared. They're not American buildings. They're not built like these are, not as strong, et cetera, et cetera. But listen, friend, that would have been scary, right? Well, that ain't got nothing on this. But Joe, that's not the earth being removed and the mountains falling off into the sea. But he is so confident in God at this time that as he pins these words down, and he said, even if I was standing there and I seen the earth being removed, I mean just falling apart, and I was standing there, and man, I was watching Mount Everest just fall off into the sea. He said, I'm not going to fear because I know. I know the one in whom I have believed. I know the one who is my help. So now listen, I don't know what your need is, and I don't know what you need help with, but I don't think it's hardly that big. I don't think, friend, it's hardly as much as sitting and looking at a mountain falling off into the sea. But I'm glad, friend, that regardless of what it is, the Lord, I've got confidence in him that he can help. And that's what he's trying to get across. He was just saying, listen, it don't matter how big it is. It don't matter what I see after this. Well, I'm confident. I'm not going to fear, and I'm going to trust in the Lord. I thought about that old song, I can't think of his last name. The fellow that wrote it did as well. And you know, his son had died. He lost his business. And you know, his children had died on the way over to the sea. And his wife got to England, wrote a letter back or sent a letter back and said, you know, all's lost. And then he goes over to England as he's going across that area. He pins those words down. And listen, friend, how in the world can somebody get to a point where they've lost their business, lost all their kids, all five of them, and then sit down and say, when sea billows roll, when trouble comes, that it is well. How could he do that? Now listen, we can sit and say, oh yeah, preacher. Well, if we was there, I don't know, but I don't know that would be my attitude. But boy, I want to get there, don't you? You know how we can get there? By having confidence like this in the Lord. I believe that feller, he might just have got a hold of Psalms chapter number 46. I think maybe, just maybe, at some point in his life, he had read that verse and said, hey, listen, regardless of what comes, regardless of how bad it is, I'm confident and I know that if I'll take it to the Lord, that he can help me, that he's a refuge and a strength, regardless of how bad that it is. I've cleared my heart tonight. I'm going to have him come and get a song, whoever will do that.